A broadcast partner that we call upon each and every week is Dr. Rob Congdon, and he looks at the European Union with us. Rob, let me just begin by talking to you. Any reaction as it relates to the election results there in Israel, with Prime Minister Netanyahu coming back to power? Are the EU leaders concerned, happy, or just neutral?
They pretty much expected that result, and so therefore I would say they would be neutral, ready to continue to work with him, and recognizing from their viewpoint the difficulties of a man who clearly is looking out for Israel. So they're ready to work with him, and it really didn't come as any kind of surprise that he won.
And we'll see how that all plays out in the near future, I do believe, as the Prime Minister of Israel forms his coalition government. Rob, talk to me about the Mali situation. There are concerns that what's going on the ground in Mali with the French forces and possibly the EU forces, it may cause some anti-EU demonstrations by the Islamists there in the EU. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that's true. I noticed one top counterterrorism official said it could increase the risk of revenge. And I felt like saying, really? I never thought of such a thing. I think as a whole, they've all recognized there is a danger in it, and they need to be alert. As I've mentioned, I think just last week, though, Europeans are much more watchful. And so in many ways, it's the individual citizens that are some of the biggest security strengths of Europe in terms of these dangers. So they'll go on recognizing that there could be a problem, and we'll just have to see if the security measures prevent it.
I noticed in some of the reporting coming out of Europe that the Islamists have said they're going to dominate both France and Great Britain. Boy, that doesn't bode well.
No, it doesn't. I do find it interesting that way back in when I first moved to Britain in 2000, there were signs everywhere saying that Islam was going to take over Britain. We're 12 years later. They certainly have progressed. And so there's no doubt that they will seek to dominate both France and Britain. They follow a standard procedure, and I noticed that this particular group that's been protesting is doing the same thing. They make themselves very visible. That's step one. Step two, and this is probably the most dangerous, they start getting control of local, what are called city councils and local schools. And after they get that control in the local area, their goal is to take over on the national level. So that is progressing. They are working on Sharia law throughout all of Europe, and that is their goal. And unless those in Europe who are not Islamic recognize it and really start guarding at the local levels, I think they can progress quite a ways before perhaps there will be a major conflict.
Rob, are they into step two right now?
I've seen that in many areas. One area was Glasgow, where they basically had started demanding that they get real say and control in the schools because the population of the student population was so large Islamic. And in fact, in some of the private Roman Catholic schools, they had started demanding to let them run the schools now because they had more Islamic students than Roman Catholics. So, yes, that's very clear. The visibility, by the way, is almost comical. You can see certain people are trained to walk on major streets at a regular timed interval, and you can almost time it and predict it. So they are following those first two steps with the goal of the third.
Rob, I couldn't hardly wait to ask you about Prime Minister Cameron in the British Empire. And the warning to the EU that there's some possibilities that Great Britain may pull out. Tell me, clarify all of this for me.
Well, he made a major speech this week. Prime Minister Cameron is from what's called the Tory Party or the conservative groups. They increasingly are recognizing that Brits are starting to say they want out of the EU. Britain wants to pull back somewhat from its involvement in the EU. He's appealing to the home audience. He is worried about an upcoming election, regaining power or keeping it, and the third party is a major force, so he has to appeal to them. But at the same time, he has stirred up the European Union because of the suggestion that maybe Britain would like to pick and choose what parts of the EU they want to participate in, and that does concern the EU leaders.
Meanwhile, Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany, and President Hollande of France, They're saying, hey, we're looking and we're dreaming for an EU utopia. What's that about?
Well, yes, they are very strong EU. They are pro a increased European Union leadership with a diminishing of the local powers. They chose the occasion of a 50th anniversary, if you will, of what was called the Elysee Peace Treaty, which really brought France and Germany together as friends and interchanging programs with students and many others. They are the force right now in the European Union. So when they are speaking and they're talking about this utopian dream, we're talking about a dream that goes back centuries, in fact, millennium, that says a united Europe, a single country of Europe, united, can bring peace and prosperity to its citizens. They want to regain the days of the Roman Empire, in which all was under one control and was peace. And so both these leaders of France and Germany are merely expressing the utopian or the dream. It's often called the Dream of Europe that has been written about over and over for the last, at least that I'm thinking, six centuries. I've seen writings on that topic. So they're just the current voices saying we have to move further to more integration, more to a single Europe.
And a revived Roman Empire. I heard that phrase in there. Boy, that sounds prophetic.
Oh, absolutely. And as I said, it's interesting. Not only do the scriptures tell us that that will occur in the future, and that future is hard to define whether that's very near or not quite so near, but to find how many secular sources and secular writers through the centuries have been dreaming of the same thing shows that that is a goal. And as we know scripturally, it is Satan's goal to unite the world under him, and certainly not under the Lord Jesus Christ with his millennial kingdom. So we're seeing it come from every direction now, scriptural and from the secular world. That dream is being talked about.
Dr. Rob Congdon talking about politics, but we can't fail to talk about the prophetic significance of all of this politics, especially in the possible near future. Rob, thank you so very much, my good friend. We'll talk again next week.
We'll look forward to it. Lord bless.